Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have all of you here this morning. Please join me in the hymnal in number 549, and we'll sing the doxology together. It's in the red hymnal, number 549, and we'll sing the doxology. Is hymn number 719. But the souls of the virtuous are in the hands of God. No torment shall ever touch them. In the eyes of the unwise, they did appear to die. Their going looked like a disaster. They're leaving us like annihilation. But they are in peace. Yet God did make man imperishable. He made him in the image of his own nature. But the virtuous live forever. Their recompense lies with the Lord. The Most High takes care of them, for he will shelter them with his right hand and shield them with his arm. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 445, More About Jesus I Would Know. Number 445, More About Jesus I Would Know. Thankful that you have brought each and everyone here this morning to worship you. And Lord, we lift up the needs and requests that we have in our lives. And God, you want us to do that because you remind us that as we pray to you, we take the time out for you to speak to us as well about the things that we need to work on in our lives. And we praise you for that. Lord, we think of the prayer requests of family members and of friends, people that are traveling today that we know. Lord, we think of the patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is working here today, and the family members that will be visiting. Lord, we lift them all up to you in prayer, And God, we do so in one accord because we know that your presence is here with us worshiping in this chapel this morning. And God, it is in that presence that we offer our prayers. And God, we'd ask that you would bless all that are here and bless those that are just being near to you this morning. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 409, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. Number 409, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the hymns that we have sung, the prayers that we have offered, the scriptures that we have read. Because, God, we want to bring you honor and glory in all things. And it is in that reverence, Lord, that we know that your Spirit is with each and every one of us this morning. And, God, I would ask that you would help me say those things that we all need to hear so that we can draw closer to you and just understand your presence in our lives more and more. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Earlier this week, I saw something on social media, and it was a phrase that has stuck with me through this week, and I've been thinking about it over and over again. And basically, the statement was this, that for you to be able to love others, you first have to love yourself. For you to be able to love others, you first have to love yourself. Does that make sense? And I thought about that. In fact, I thought about it all week. And I was thinking, okay, so how can I understand to love myself better? And it's not the love that we think about in terms of being enamored with ourselves. And we wake up and we go to the mirror and we talk to ourselves and we exclaim how good looking we are and that we give ourselves little kisses in terms of how we love ourselves. But I think what's important here is the truth of that statement is exactly that, that if you love yourself, understanding that within yourself, God has created you, the good, the bad, right? And if you accept that, and if you understand that, then I think you begin to see how important it is for you to love yourself because you are God's creation. And yes, perhaps, as I do at times, wish for more hair on the top of my head, but I know that's not going to happen. And when I was younger, I wished that I was a little taller so I could play basketball a little better, or run a little faster, or have a little bit more upper body strength, because that's always been one of my physical weaknesses. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the whole idea of you to be able to love yourself as God's creation for the way that He has created you. Because God has created you in His eyes, in His mind, and in His perfect will. And that's hard for us to understand sometimes because we have all these things around us in our lives that tells us that our lives are imperfect because we do not have certain things. Whether they are possessions or some type of ability that we're supposed to possess, that if somehow that we are lacking, that we truly can't love ourselves until we fulfill ourselves with these other things. But that is not true. The truth about our lives is that God loves us, and because of the value that we have in the eyes of God, that we should love ourselves. And in turn, because we understand that, we give that blessing to other people because we then can love others for who they are with all of their imperfections, with all of the things that are wrong with them. Now, how did I get all of that from this portion of Scripture that we just read this morning? Well, I like to start at the end of the portion of Scripture that says this, God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. And that is our hope. That it is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God. And because of that, we can truly love ourselves for the way that God loves us, and in turn, we love other people for who they are. Because just in the same way that sometimes we doubt God's perfection in our lives, I guarantee you, I doubt other perfections in other people's lives because I'm saying, God, how can that person just, how do you expect me to love somebody like that? that God says that we need to do that if we truly do love ourselves. Because that reflects the godliness that God wants us to have. The godliness that God wants us to have is then exhibited by how we love others. And that is a struggle for me. And if it is not a struggle for you, then God bless you, because you have insight that is far beyond the scope of my understanding. But one thing I do know, that as we deal with the whole process of trying to love ourselves because God loves us, and that leads to godliness in our lives, and therefore we are able to love other people, we are to never quit on the understanding of that concept, that that is how God wants us to live. Because it is a blessing to us. Godliness brings value to our lives. Godliness brings purpose to our lives. And in doing so, it makes us love our relationship more and more with God. And consequently, we love ourselves more. And because we love ourselves more, we are able to love others more. And our life is good. And we should never quit on the concept of trying to live godly lives. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to fall. But we should never lose the whole idea that in the value that we have walking with God, that godliness is the key. Because it gives us the life that we are all searching for. It gives us that purpose that we're all searching for. And in that concept of godliness and valuing it in our lives, it gives us the promise for both this life, and that is also the life that is to come. Because it has its rewards. And it's not the rewards that sometimes we expect. The rewards that come with godliness comes in very special ways. And I think one of the things that we need to think about it is when we think of godliness and when we apply godliness in our lives, and if we're looking for some type of reward to happen for us, we need to ask God to open our eyes so we can see what our godliness is doing in our lives and in the lives of others. And that is something that we need to put our faith and put our confidence in. Because it is something that is trustworthy. It is something that gives us that full acceptance of what we believe in. It is something that as we never quit, that we labor and that we strive for. It's something that we work towards. And the scripture started off this morning with the whole idea of physical training and the value that it brings to our lives. And I would say yes, physical training does bring value to our lives, but it has its limits. Because there are things in our lives that are beyond the scope of our understanding, that we know God is present in our lives, and that goes beyond what we are able physically to be able to do. And it does have value. Don't get me wrong on that. I still do physical training. A couple of weeks ago, I actually hiked the Grand Canyon again, rim to rim, for the second time in the last 2 years. Why I do that, I have no idea. Because I guarantee you that when I'm in the middle of it, I'm like, why did I put myself in this situation to do this again? But the importance of it is this, that even in that physical exertion, and I'll say that if you've ever hiked the canyon or parts of it, you know that there are times that it is very arduous. But even then, there is limits to what your physical training can do and provide to you. There are times that as I've been on these hikes the last 2 years, that all of a sudden I found myself hitting that physical wall, that physical barrier where you just want to quit and you just want to give up. And you need something more to help you carry on. And that's where you go into and you access the spiritual aspects of your life. So say, Lord, help me. Give me that strength that I need to go on and to persevere. And that comes in so many ways in our lives. Not just when you're hiking the Grand Canyon or doing something physical, but the things that we face, the challenges that we have in our everyday lives, reminds us that as we look for strength, as we look for direction, as we look for insight, as we look for wisdom, where it comes from in terms of our access to God is how we have been living for God and with God. It reflects the godliness in our lives. Don't expect for you to have great insight and great vision and great wisdom if you are not living a godly life with God. Because you see, unless you're making the attempt to be godly, you cannot have that insight. You cannot have that wisdom. You cannot have that vision that God wants you to have. Because you see, unless we're making that attempt to be godly, we are walking in darkness and not in the light. And God wants us to walk in the light. Because He wants to be able to see the godliness that He wants us to have, the purpose of that godliness, how it blesses others as well as blessing ourselves. And then when we get up in the morning and we truly look at ourselves in the mirror, we can honestly say we love ourselves because the way that God loves us. It's not because of our godliness. It's because of God living through us, allowing God to help us to deal with the things that we struggle with so that we can have godly living. To deal with our imperfections that God wants us to take and to mold and to accept and to benefit from us. And in that benefit, we are able to share those struggles that we've had with others so they can sense that purpose, they can sense that godliness, they can sense that understanding of being able to live and love themselves because God has created them. But once again, it's a reminder to us that it is the living God who is the Savior of all people. But if you do not have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, then the last part of the scripture that we read this morning has no meaning to you. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the last part does have meaning because it says, especially of those who believe. Our living God is the Savior of all people. But it only has value, it only has purpose, it only has insight unless you truly believe. Otherwise, it is just a statement. Because then it is not personal. And God has that personal relationship with us. He wants that personal relationship with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, especially of those who believe. Because if you believe, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, then you see the value of the godliness that God wants you to work on in your lives. To do the right thing, always. Not just part of the time, not just some of the time, not just when it's convenient or when it's correct in terms of the circumstances in which you find yourselves in. But godliness takes place when people do not see you do it. That's when we truly show and demonstrate who we are in Christ. True godliness is when no one else sees it but you and God. And I must admit that in my own life, there's sometimes that I do the right thing and there's nobody around and I want applause. Man, did you just see what I... No, nobody saw that. I just did this... Oh, nobody saw that. So why did I do it? I did it because it was the right thing to do. because it honors God. And maybe I'm not getting applause from people around me or pats on my back or awards in terms of the things that I do that nobody sees that are good. I don't want to report to you that I do bad things that nobody sees, but I do. But you see, that's where the godliness truly measures who we are in Jesus Christ. That truly measures in terms of what we believe in terms of who we are as a person. Because we should never quit. We should never quit in the efforts that we make to have godly lives. And that godliness does take place when no one else is looking at you, when no one else is watching. The godliness takes place in our minds, in our thoughts, in our hearts, that no one else sees but God. Because you can never fool God. You can fool yourself, and you can fool others, but you can never fool God, because God sees everything. God knows everything. And so if that is the case, then why not submit to the holiness and the godliness that brings us great value, that gives us the promise of the way that God wants us to live in the present life and in the life to come. And it is something that is so trustworthy, and it deserves full acceptance in our lives, because living a godly life gives us unlimited access to God. Now, it doesn't mean that unlimited access means that God's going to answer all of our prayers the way that God wants us. We want God to do that for us. But godliness gives us unlimited access to God. Unlimited in terms of understanding how God is working in our lives. Unlimited in terms of the whole aspects of the wisdom and the discernment and the insight that we want to have and taking on the different challenges that we have. And just because we have unlimited access to God, it does not mean that our problems all go away. But it does give us an understanding of our challenges, of our problems. And if we're making the effort to live the godly life that God wants us to have, then all of those things take the proper perspective that they need to have. And it gives us encouragement. It gives us courage to never quit, to always believe in the living God who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And that's where we get that unlimited access to God, to those who believe, those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, those that are willing to do what it takes to walk with God, to do what it takes to do the right thing, to do what it takes to do those things in a godly way when no one else sees but God. Because then we are truly saying to God, I value the relationship that I have with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And then it gives you that purpose. It gives you that meaning. It gives you what you need to have in your life so that you can love yourself the way God has created you and me. And in doing so, we are able to love others because of what we believe in. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And it should remind each and every one of us that we all struggle with godliness, but communion gives us an opportunity publicly to show to God, to demonstrate to others that we have not given up on ourselves, And we make a commitment never to quit on the whole idea of being godly before God. Let us pray. Our God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us of the things that we need to work on. And Lord, forgive us when there are times that we have spiritually just quit, when we have just become so frustrated and we just give up. But God, you have reminded us this morning not to do that, that there is great value in us never to quit in our efforts and our attempts to live godly lives, because there is such a blessing in the godliness that you want us to have. And Lord, we are so thankful that a living God has provided to us to be the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that's why we celebrate communion, to remember what was done for us on the cross, the suffering and the death and the burial, but also to celebrate the resurrection, the appearing, and the ascending, because in that we are reminded that that return will happen one day for each and every one of us. And in between then and now, you want us to live godly lives in the present, but also we see the benefit of living godliness in the future with you. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 442, "Have Thine Own Way."
After thy word, while I am waiting. Let us pray.
God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us how important it is to have godliness in our lives. And God, we cannot do it without your strength and without your power to do it. God, give us that unlimited access that we need to have so that we can live godly lives for ourselves and for each other. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Good to have all of you here this morning. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. The doxology number 549. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Our call to worship is hymn number 718. With God are wisdom and might. He has counsel and understanding. If he tears down, none can rebuild. If he shuts a man in, none can open. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the land. With him are strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He loosens the bonds of kings and binds a waistcloth on their loins. He makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 485, Take My Life and Let It Be. Number 485, Take My Life and Let It Be. So thankful for this time that we can have to worship you. And Lord, we come before you with our individual needs and requests that we have in our lives. And Lord, every time that we pray to you, many times it seems to be the same old thing. But God, you remind us again and again that you always want to hear about the needs in our lives, even if it is the same old thing. So God, we come before you not just with the same old thing, but new needs that we have in our lives, things that you have reminded us this week to pray for. We also pray for family members and for friends, for the patients throughout this medical center, for the staff that are working here today, for the families that we'll be visiting. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer. And God, as we pray, we also pause to just say thank you that you care about us each individually, and that your desire is for us to always be reconciled to you in all things. Lord, once again, we just are so thankful that we can come and worship you here in this chapel. We do not take this opportunity for granted, and we are so thankful for all the servicemen and women and their families that have made the sacrifices to give us this freedom to worship as we choose. And we thank you for them, and we lift them up to you in prayer as well. And we just praise you. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn this morning is number 382, Be Still My Soul. Number 382, Be Still My Soul.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend.
Still, my soul, something that God always wants us to be, but it seems to be the most difficult. Because I don't know about you, but I am impatient about a lot of things. But God tells us to be still and trust in Him. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with persuasive arguments. For I may be absent in body, but I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are in the strength of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful that You have taken this act of worship that all of us have provided. And Lord, we are just so thankful that You acknowledge that worship in spirit and truth in our own individual lives. And God, I would ask that You would help me to continue that acknowledgement of that spirit of truth, that the things that I would be saying, the thoughts that would come across in my mind would be coming from You. Help me know, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the things that Lynn and I try to do is we try to go to various events. Used to be with our children, and now it's with our grandchildren. And this past week, our grandson Matthew, he's in third grade, he attends a school where every quarter of their school year, they have what they call a summative. And basically what that means is you have an opportunity as parents or grandparents to go and see what your child is learning. And you get an understanding and a summary because they summarize the events of that quarter into the different projects and to the different learning lessons that they've had and what the outcome has been during that quarter. So Lynn and I had the opportunity to go, and we went. And at first they have a general session where all the classes come together and they review and they talk about the different projects and they show a video of the children, and the children kind of give their own little testimony in terms of the things that they've learned during that quarter. And then we break up and then we go into separate rooms. But when we were in the general session, there was a gentleman sitting in front of me that had a t-shirt on, and on the back of the t-shirt it said, "Old Guys Rule." And the older I get, the better I was. The older I get, the better I was. Thank you, honey. Because Lynn saw the t-shirt first and she was elbowing me. Hey, look at that t-shirt. So the older I get, the better I was. So it was pretty funny, and of course we were joking about it amongst the family that was there. But I'd like to submit to you that the older that we get, it should not be the better that I was, but it should be the older I get, the better I am, the better I become. And that should be a goal for each and every one of us, that the older that we get, the better that we become in our living, the better that we become in Christ. But it doesn't seem to be that way, does it? It seems somehow the older that we get, the more that we think and the more that we ponder how things maybe could have been or should have been. But I think we need to remember that all we have right now is the present time, the present moment. And God takes us just exactly the way that we are this morning. He knows of our past. He knows of us today. He knows of us in the future. And we just have to somehow understand that each day is a new opportunity for us to move forward in our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we do that in many different ways, by acts of worship, by singing songs and praises to God, by offering prayers, by reading the scriptures, by worshiping together, about having just general discussions about God and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and the different challenges that we face and the struggles that we have. Because God has given us the understanding that all the wisdom and knowledge that we need is actually in Christ. Everything. The understanding about our life, the understanding about our future, the understanding in terms of how we interact with each other, how we are supposed to live with each other. All of those things are in Jesus Christ. So Christ is our example. Christ is the person that we should look to see how He handled specific situations in His life while He was here. And then also allowing for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in terms of how do we take those lessons that we learn, the knowledge and the wisdom that are in Christ, and how do we apply it to our everyday lives? How do we make it work? How do we seem to reconcile the differences between the two, ourselves and the nature of Christ that we should always be thinking about? So first of all, do we understand that as we walk with God, that we are not by ourselves, but that we have the presence of God in our lives through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit? And do we understand that how we put that to use is every day we use that strength and that power spiritually that God has given us to rely upon Him, to trust Him, and to have faith? It does not mean that we don't have responsibilities. It does not mean that we don't have things that we do on a regular basis. But do all of those things glorify God? Do they strengthen your faith? Do they enhance in terms of what you believe in as a follower of Jesus Christ? Do they enhance your wisdom and knowledge? And I think it's important to understand that as we came to know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and we accepted Christ, He set us free from the bondage and the chains of sin in our lives. So we should rejoice every moment of every day because of what Christ has done for us. And I know that that's difficult to do. I know that sometimes we become overwhelmed by events and we really don't think about Christ all the time. We don't think about the things that we should about God because we're busy trying to deal with the struggles that we have, those things that we have to deal with on a regular basis about ourselves and the world in which we are a part of. But we are reminded here this morning that the Spirit of God is always with us and that we are to strengthen our faith in Christ. And the only way that we can do that is to step out in faith and to trust God for those circumstances. And we have our responsibility. God tells us, I think, the things that we need to work on within the circle of things that we can influence. The boundaries that we have where we know we have limitations in terms of what we can do and how can we respond. But I think God also gives us that wisdom and that knowledge that is in Christ that can extend beyond our boundaries. And that's where faith comes in. That's where faith believing needs to be such a part of our lives. Because of all the knowledge and wisdom that's hidden in Christ, we have to take a step of faith in believing what Christ has done for us. Because then if we do that, we see that we become more strengthened in faith. And spiritually, we actually become stronger. And when we become stronger, not in our own way, but in God's way through the presence of His Spirit, we also become emotionally stronger. We'll be able to face those challenges that we have. All of a sudden, we find the right words to say in those difficult circumstances that we are in. Not because of our own knowledge, not because of our own wisdom, but because of the knowledge and the wisdom that we have found in Christ. And each day is a new step. Each day is which we build upon what has happened to us in the previous day. Many times it might be one step, two steps forward and one step back, but it is a process, always desiring to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to do that. Because you are taking a step of faith. You are saying to God in your prayers and in your worship and your thoughts about God, Lord, you know, I know what my limitations are. I know what my boundaries are. I know that there's only so many things that I can influence with my own will. And God, I hope I am doing it the right way. I hope that I am doing it in Christ. But God, I am trusting you in faith to go beyond those boundaries, to go beyond my limitations of what I can control, my limitations of what I can influence. And I'm trusting you. And that's where faith comes in, the trust that God wants us to have. And as we talked about being reconciled, the whole idea that we incorporate forgiveness in our lives, forgiveness of what God has done for us individually, and then we add trust to it and we find ourselves reconciled to God in all things. And a testimony of that reconciliation is how we live our lives. The things that we think about. The things that we respond to. And it does not take away from our own individuality. Because God has created you and He has created me in a very unique and special way as individuals. And we need to recognize that. God does not always want us to be the same. Now, there are times that He wants us to be the same in terms of attitude of spirit, attitude of worship, attitude of wanting to know and to understand Christ better. But yet there's that individual part of us that God has created that we need to say, you know what? God, thank you that I am different than everybody else. But yet there's an equality that we have in God. All of us are equal before God. None of us are any better before the eyes of God. All of us have sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us need to be reconciled with God. All of us need to be forgiven of our sins before God. So in that sense, together as a body of believers in Jesus Christ, we are together, but yet we are separate. And God wants us to be rooted in the teachings that we have, the teachings of believing in Jesus Christ. And perhaps you can do that in different ways. One of the things I like to do is I like to watch documentaries and I like to watch movies. And I've found a lot of wonderful movies about Jesus Christ and about his life. In fact, right now I'm watching and listening to the one about the Gospel of John, and I found it very enriching because they've actually stayed as close to as they possibly can to the words of Christ in the Gospel of John. So not only am I thinking about Christ, but I'm actually seeing the words of Christ. And of course, there's a dramatic depiction of his life. Whether all of that drama happened, I don't know. There's some artistic license there. But I think I get a sense of really, as I've been going through the book of John, doing that as well, having the Bible by my side. It's kind of interesting how I've been putting together and understanding the knowledge and the wisdom that God wants us to give us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how we build each other up. As we become more aware of the things that we need to work on, we encourage each other to continue to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But it takes courage to do that. For you and I to inspire others, for you and I to encourage others, we have to take a step out in faith. It makes us vulnerable. It makes us vulnerable. And when we become vulnerable, we're putting ourselves out there saying, you know what? Somebody's going to evaluate what I'm saying to them. Somebody's going to judge what I'm trying to say to them. A lot of times we don't like to be evaluated. We don't like to have people pronouncing judgments on us. We just want to be able to have people hear our words, and if it pertains to them, that's fine. But I know a lot of times I struggle with making myself vulnerable because I am concerned about the judgment and the thoughts of others and whether they accept what I have to say, whether they accept and understand what I truly am trying to put across. But you know, as long as I know that I'm presenting the message that God has given me, and as long as the wisdom and the knowledge that I'm trying to share the best that I can with the help of the Holy Spirit is from Christ, that's the best I can do. And in the same way, if you feel some fear in terms of wanting to be able to express yourself and to encourage others and to make yourself vulnerable, you know what? You can just do the best that you can and just leave it there. Say, God, you know, I'm doing the best I can to come to a better understanding of myself. I'm doing the best I can to overcome the challenges that I'm facing in my life. I'm doing the best that I can to make myself vulnerable. And God, just take those fears away. But yet it takes courage for us to do that. And then as we see, as we've incorporated those teachings, as we make the effort to want to know the wisdom and knowledge that is hidden in Christ, we find ourselves overwhelming with gratitude and with praise. Praise for the opportunities that we have to make ourselves vulnerable, to share the different things in our lives that have made a difference, to share our weaknesses, to share our faults. And yes, perhaps there are only certain sets of circumstances where you should do that, especially if it's something that's very deep and very personal. But I think God gives us an opportunity to do that because then we see ourselves in a different light when we share those things. It's almost like, okay, God, I finally said it. I told people the different things that I'm struggling with, the different things that I have faced, the different things that I've tried to overcome. I've made myself vulnerable. People have seen all of my weaknesses. So now, God, When am I going to get in return? And through God's Spirit, God gives us an opportunity to see ourselves in a new way as a follower of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because we've made ourselves vulnerable, and that hurts. But yet God and the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives can provide the healing that we need to have even after it hurts. Because God always wants us to be one in Him, in faith believing. And then we overflow with gratitude in terms of what's going on in our lives. And God, we just say, thank you. I never thought I could feel this way before, God, about the circumstances. I never thought I could feel this way about sharing myself and making myself vulnerable, allowing people to know in the right set of circumstances my failures, because in demonstrating my failures, I can also see my strength. And God, I want to thank you for giving me the courage to do that. Because it is something that we should be attracted to. The wisdom and knowledge that we want to find in Christ is something that we should strive to go after. Something that we should want on a regular basis. And as we take those two steps forward and the one step back, we need to be reminded that God has forgiven us. And those things that are in the past are in the past. And God no longer wants us to stare at those things. Because when we start staring, we start reliving the past. And God does not want us to do that. For you see, you and I have a new knowledge, a new wisdom, a new understanding of our life that we have found in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we walk forward in Him. God never wants us to walk backwards. Because the backwards part of our lives has been taken care of. God has forgiven us. And it is in that overflowing attitude of thank you, God, and gratitude that we just have such a wonderful attitude about our relationship with God. We desire to worship. We desire to fellowship. We desire to learn more about God's Word. And so consequently, our own attitude about life begins to change. Our attitude about our circumstances, our attitudes about people. And instead of being afraid, we find ourselves growing in strength and actually having more courage to go beyond that we ever thought we could before. Going beyond our own boundaries in faith believing because of what Christ has done for us. And then we see every day in the different activities that we have, that we do those things that please God. We do those things that praise God. We do those things that honor our relationship with God. And then we just have more and more of an attitude of gratefulness and of gratitude. And our knowledge and our wisdom in Christ begins to overflow. And we just say, wow, God, I never thought I could be here today the way that I am, praising you, honoring you. And then we begin to see that God is making us better, better than I was. God is making better than I ever thought I could ever be. And we just have that whole idea of where God is with us, walking in our lives, understanding that as we continue the process, God is continuing to develop us, making us stronger and stronger and stronger in Him, not in ourselves. And the struggles that we thought we could never overcome, all of a sudden we find ourselves overcoming them and being ahead of the game, not in our own strength, but in the strength that we have found in the wisdom and the knowledge of Christ. So it is my hope and prayer that as we leave this day and we adopt the fellowship and the worship that God wants us to have, that we adapt to the things that God wants us to do in our lives following His Spirit of truth, that we have a newness in which we live each day, anew in following Him. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion as we give a testimony that we want to reach beyond the boundaries of our lives and take that step out in faith in all things. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful that you have reminded us that you want us to have a spirit of overflowing gratitude and praise and thanksgiving to you. And God, we are doing that in our hearts and our minds. Lord, we know that you're working through us. We know that you've showed us the boundaries and our limitations of what we can do. Yet God, in faith believing, we want to go beyond that because we want to trust in you. And in everything that we do, we want to be reconciled to you. So God, I just want to praise you and thank you that we can have this communion time together. Thank you for everyone that has come to worship you today, because we do so because we love you. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen. From the Lord, what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 476. Give of your best to the Master. Number 476.
Give of your best to the Master.
first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Given to you shall be given. God is beloved's son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master. Not as is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom. Gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you went from sin's road to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Give up your best to the Master, give up the strength of your youth.
God, we are so thankful that we've had this opportunity to acquire more knowledge and wisdom in your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, help us that that may be a goal each day so that we can grow and become more courageous than we were the day before. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.